Support for the Outlap F1 Podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Big news, everyone. Manscaped has just released their new cologne scent to help you feel good and smell good all over and all the time. Manscaped has been trusted by over 2 million men worldwide, so join the movement now for all your below-the-waist grooming needs. We already know that Manscaped has the perfect package 3.0 for all your grooming needs, but they didn't stop there. Complete your grooming game with a new refined cologne signature scent by Manscaped. The same signature scent that's in all the Manscaped formulas, this cologne is a perfect complement to your collection. It's light, approachable, and gentlemanly-like in all the right ways. Think of it as your roommate for the night in the town to keep you fresh and ready for anything. It's calming and inviting. This signature scent introduces a light citrus burst before settling in for an incredible woodsy and masculine finish. This 50 milliliter spray cologne is even hypoallergenic, cruelty-free, dye-free, paraben-free, and 100% vegan. It even comes in a beautifully designed glass bottle that makes a statement, and the manly scent sets the mood for any occasion. I've been personally using this product for about a month, though, and let me tell you, it smells incredible, and my significant other has certainly been enjoying it as well. Right now, our listeners of the Outlap F1 Podcast can get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code OUTLAP, that's O-U-T-L-A-P, one word, at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com.
Today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podco.co at podgo.co. Now let's kick off the show. John and James, let's get at it. This is the Outlap F1 Podcast featuring America's own John, James, Andy, and Deanna. Your one-stop shop for Formula One news, insights, race previews, and reviews. Join us on the Outlap. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 26 of the Outlap F1 Podcast. It's our Austria Race 2 preview and a bit of news. You've got Andy, I'm along with John, and I'm along with Deanna. Folks, how are we doing this fine evening?
Good. So, recovering from a semi-lackluster Austria race, Yeah, Deanna put it best last time. It's a shame that France outpaced Austria, but hey, we've got a chance for redemption. We've got some softer tires. We've got some cooler weathers potentially. So I'm hoping that we mix things up a little bit here.
It's given us a lot of great races in the past. I'm hoping we get another one.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we get a great one because we went through this one.
We're old, dang it.
Absolutely.
I like that. But you can find our show on Twitter, Instagram, Discord, and Reddit at Outlap F1 Podcast. You can email our show at chatnow@outlapf1.com. You can find our beautiful website at www.outlapf1.com. If you're brand new to this and you're wondering what the heck we're all talking about, please do check out our Season 3, Episode 6. That is our F1 for Beginners. You can also find our Sabre Cook interviews, season 2, episode 2, and season 3, episode 21. Sabre did not have the world's greatest first weekend, but she's going to rally with the W Series. Just a reminder that Relap with Deanna, she's currently still on the 1981 Monaco GP, but I think something has had to do with the finger there, getting a little bit better, so I'm sure she's going to get some new content up as soon as she can.
Yeah, those will start recording those again this week. Yeah, so much has happened since that race. Wow.
Leave it to Andy, who can't predict weather to save his life. They're over there talking shit.
I am not talking shit.
Throwing it down. Still on for the 19th week in a row, Monaco. She's been busy, regrowing a finger.
She's been totally busy.
And nerves and working and traveling and living in a 400 square foot apartment and
crooked apartment
crooked, yeah,
hallway more specifically.
Nice. Yep. Anyways, good times.
Yeah. So you can support our show via the Anchor app, which is a link in the show notes, $1, $5. We are on our cool new recording platform. So we're still trying to work out some of the kinks with that. So hopefully this is all sounding really awesome for everyone. That's what we're hoping to do. Just as a reminder, please do take advantage of our promotion with the good folks at Manscaped. Gets 20% off and the free shipping with code OUTLAP, OUTLAP. We are, as always, proud to bring that to you. Just before we hop into our second race preview, just a little bit of news that broke over the course of the Austria 1 race weekend. The first story, the Russian Grand Prix will be moving to the St. Petersburg circuit starting in 2023. So the Sochi Autodrome gets this year, gets next year, and then that's it for it. What do we think about this change?
It can't be worse, right? Like, that's all I'm hoping for. Just so slightly better.
Yeah, I don't know much about St. Pete, but this track is going to be in the middle of friggin' nowhere. I think it's like 45 or something, 43 kilometers from St. Petersburg. It's going to be out in the middle of friggin' nowhere. It's a Hermann Tilke track, so either you love those or you hate those. Some are better than others, I will say. There's 15 corners, we believe, if they do the full layout, but there's 10 different variations that they could do. So I'm not exactly 100% sure of which layout they would be doing. I assume the full one, but who knows exactly. This track did receive its F1 certification at the end of 2020. It was supposed to hold a DTM championship round last year, but obviously COVID had other things to say about that, unfortunately. But Andy, from looking at the track map, how would you, if you had to compare it to a current track, how would you describe this?
It's
a little bit of this.
I was going to say it's there's parts of it that remind me of Imola. There's a section of it that kind of also reminds me a little bit, I hate to say it, of like Abu Dhabi a little bit, but not the worst parts of it. I really would want to see what layout they actually want to use, because I mean there's so many different options that they could do. I'm assuming that they're probably going to go with the main layout that I think I'm looking at on my screen. I mean, there's a nice long stretch. There are 15 turns. There's a good chunk of twisty bits from turn 3 through turn 9, or turn 8 rather, a bit of a straightaway between 8 and 9. There's a long hairpin, it looks like, between turns 12 and 13. And then a little odd chicane, which is turn 13, 14, 15, is the lap end. So that might, I don't know how that would play. But it looks like a relatively straightforward pit in. No weird access road or anything like that that they would have to kind of navigate. But, I look at track layouts and I always go, I don't really know until I see the cars on the track and what's the aero like and how are they going to go? So it could be great. Could also be like the Sochi we know. So I don't know.
Legitimate question. Is there any other track designer in the world besides Hermann Tilke? Like just one?
Apparently not.
Not for Formula One, at least.
Okay.
And none that I know. I mean, it's usually like the stamp of approval. If you're trying to get an F1 grade circuit, he's usually the guy that you call. For whatever reason. I mean, it's very much like you see long straights followed by braking zones. You see some flowing corners. Yeah, nothing super remarkable about it. It doesn't look all that old. It looks very new school, very new school track.
You say that, and I agree with you. Like, I mean, I only have like an aerial shot of this, and it's not the best resolution in the world. It's kind of hard to find. You know, for a track that's out there, it's kind of hard to find a lot on it. But I kind of feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, like I have a little bit of like a Hungary vibe, maybe a little bit of like an Interlagos vibe to it. I think what we can't tell from this is what the elevation changes are.
That's true.
I mean, from this angle, obviously the picture we look at looks like everything's flat as shit. But we may have some legitimate elevation changes, which could very well change things. The other thing I noticed too is, there are a couple of straights, you know, there's, I guess, three what appear to be actual straights, but I only see one, like, which would be the front straight that would be legitimate for DRS, in my opinion. I mean, there's a chance by 2023 DRS isn't even a thing, so that could be an option as well. But I mean, do you guys see any other? There's a couple of short stints, like, but they don't seem like they're long enough really for DRS to really do anything.
Well, it looks like you're 12 into 13 that straight, maybe. It would be a short one, but maybe you could squeeze one there.
They did something like that at Portimao this year, right? Didn't they add that short little section just basically kind of help you out a little bit, but there's no overtaking happening. I feel like it's that kind of vibe.
And at the latter portion of the drive, like sector three, you've got a little bit of like an S type section. I don't know. I can't quite tell based on this picture if that is, would that be too tight to do like a, you know, kind of like a Baku where we have, Syria has one of those, you know, what appears to be a DRS, a turning DRS kind of mentality. Mm. I don't know. I can't quite tell if it's too sharp for that. I guess potentially you may be able to get a little bit of a DRS with a curve there as well, depending on how tight it is. But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully we get some like simulations on YouTube relatively soon so we can see what it would actually look like in person. But
yeah, I'd imagine the YouTubers will jump on this now that it's been announced. So
yeah,
stand by. As we see it, we'll let you know our opinions. But for me, it's a large unknown. I didn't even know the circuit existed until about 3 days ago. So what does that tell you?
Apparently, the internet didn't either, because I'm looking at Italy24news.com. I'm not sure it's the most prominent news organization in the country of Italy.
Right. So our next story, the Turkish Grand Prix, the little Grand Prix that could, is now back on the calendar after being on the calendar last year and being off the initial calendar, then only to be added, only to be, then be removed. It is back on. It now takes what was the former TBC spot on October 1 to 3 that weekend. That will now be the Turkish Grand Prix, as we're going to give that another shot. Deanna and John, what do we think about Turkey coming back yet again?
I hope it doesn't get taken off yet again. But I'm just excited to see this, hopefully, in all of its glory without all of the drama of last year, even though it ended up being a fun race. But I'd love to see these cars going around there, kind of full beans and turning and all that mess. So,
yeah, last year we had the kind of the perfect storm with new pavement and wet weather and everything else. So, yeah, I mean, it'll have another year for that pavement to kind of cure, and who knows what the weather will be. It seems like a pretty cool track, even in the dry. So I think it'll be a fun one to watch. Obviously, I'm a huge Singapore fan. It's like very, 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 maybe potentially even number one on my bucket list for motorsports. I'm trying to get out there before they stop racing there. Not sure how that contract is currently flowing right now with COVID. You know, I think it was in its latter 2 years or so last year. So I don't know if they're just delaying that contract or what exactly is going on there, but I'm still hoping to make the 23-hour flight and get out there for a race. Our buddy Rob from Everything Racing Podcast went out there a few years ago, and you know, it was already way up on the bucket list. And after seeing his experience and hearing him talk about how amazing it was, it just made me want to go even more. So I'm sad to see Singapore off the list, but excited that we'll at least get a race in its place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I thought the race last year was a whole heck of a lot of fun. It was really kind of F1 kind of down and dirty, if nothing else, because you saw the cars really, you know, struggle with the grip and the surface and everything else. I'd love to see it kind of at normal service, what kind of a show it does. Just also wanted just to let everybody know that there was, you know, there still is the talk of Circuit of the Americas here in the U.S. potentially still getting a second race. There might be some, you know, thought that maybe this closes that. No, it really doesn't, because there's still big concern, big concern for Brazil, whether or not that's going to remain on the calendar, and still a fair amount of concern for Mexico. If either of those get redlisted by the UK government, the FIA and Liberty Media are going to come looking for another track. And the only one that kind of makes sense that's within distance is probably Circuit of the Americas. during that part of the calendar. So again, we will continue to monitor that story. And the second we hear anything about it, we will tweet it out and we'll get the info to you, as I'm sure. If you haven't gotten tickets, I think they're releasing another set of 20K, which are general admission. I know Deanna was able to get some tickets over the course of this weekend. So you can still go. So please do check that out if you are so inclined. Next story. So this is kind of interesting. Pirelli came out and said they're going to be testing tires this weekend that are more resilient to punctures, as the next stop after Austria is the British Grand Prix. Well, where, if you remember last year, Lewis Hamilton sort of won that race on three wheels. But it supposedly has nothing to do with the failures in Baku. Nothing to see here. We're just normally doing our thing. We're just going to reinforce the tires and we're going to test them this weekend. Right?
I mean, going back to their press release that, remember, like, you know, I read 10 times and I still have no idea what the hell they're saying. You know, part of it seems like they're taking a blame, but then the rest of it's like, nah, nothing to see. I think we all know that there was something potentially going on with that tire. Obviously, the British GP has a track record now of having tire issues, last year notwithstanding as well. So perfect timing. But yeah, interesting that nothing to see with Baku, but oh, by the way, we're bringing out a new tire for no connection with those two at all.
Do you have any thoughts? Or
no, I'm still probably as... this whole situation has been so weird, but okay. All right, sure.
I mean, again, if you're Pirelli, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You know, you're a world-class tire manufacturer, but you have a sporting regulation that wants you to make tires that degrade, but don't degrade too fast and don't fall off a cliff, but don't last too long. You know, they're screwed either way. It's, you know, if it wasn't for the marketing purposes of it, I'm sure that they would find better ways to spend their weekend. But so yeah, I kind of feel for Pirelli in that regard. I mean, I still wish we'd go back to the hyper softs and everything else that lasted three laps and we had a whole bunch of pit stops and stuff. I kind of enjoyed that saga and the shenanigans that went with it. But yeah, I mean, it's, they're kind of putting a bandaid on the situation, I think, right now.
Yeah, so I mean, what you'll probably see is during the practices, you'll see tires with the question mark graphic, because I don't know if they're releasing, you know, what level of hardness they are to the teams, but we'll see as this weekend progresses how that all is going to work. But I'm imagining they're going to have some mandatory running in FP1 and more than likely FP2 and probably throughout the weekend. So as we're on the same track as we were last week, the track facts are basically unchanged. I am now a little bit more leery about making a weather prediction. So I'm not calling anything at this point. However, there was, I think, a moderate potential chance for rain. But after last weekend, I don't believe any of it. So we're just going to hop straight into our predictions. And as we are apt to do, our first prediction is our qualifying pole sitter. Last race, we had Max Verstappen on a 1:03.841. Deanna, let's start with you. What do you have for pole sitter?
Verstappen.
Shocking.
I went the other way and I got burned, so here we are.
John, what you got?
Yeah, I think until he proves me wrong, it would be hard to bet against Max this week.
Yep. James, who is not here, has agreed with both of you with Max, and I will concur. And I will say Max, until someone takes it away from him, is probably going to be sitting in my pole sitter spot. So for fastest lap, John, let's start with you on this.
All right, so... Verstappen last week was a 1:03.841. I really don't know exactly where to go. I'm going to go with a 1:03.811.
All right. Deanna, what you got for a lap time?
I'm going to go a bit quicker than that because I'll be on a step softer. And oh, say a 103.5 flat.
right. John, what does James have for that?
Yeah, so James didn't want to be prices righted. He specifically called out Deanna on this one. So
even though it didn't work.
Again, it's never worked. Secret...
He texted me his secret formula in an individual chat so as to not be seen. So he is at a 103.813. So it looks like I price is right him, apparently, unintentionally. Sorry about that. I think we're both going to be wrong, though. I think Deanna's onto something with the tire differential there.
Yeah, I'm of a similar mindset, and Deanna almost took my time. So I'm gonna go a little bit softer. I'm not going to price right anybody here. I'm going to go 103.257 because I do think the C5 tire, if it can last, will yield some more grip.
And Deanna, what was your time again?
103.257.
Oh, sorry, Deanna.
I was a 5-flat.
Five flat. All right. Good enough.
So our race predictions, we will start with the podium. Deanna, start with you. What do you have for your podium?
Verstappen, Hamilton, Perez.
Also known as chalk version 2021.
Yes.
I will concur with you. I will say the same thing, Max Lewis Perez, until Bottas shows me something more, he's not worthy of at least a prediction, even though he got the podium last week.
All right, I'm just going to stop typing on the agenda then, because James has chalk, and I'm going chalk.
Well. All right.
Whoa. It's all coming down to lap times. Great.
Lap times and bonus picks. It's going to be a tight one.
All right, so our fastest lap and the driver, and last time out it was Lewis Hamilton on the last lap with a 107.058. John, we'll start with you. You'll get the honor of selecting what do you have for time, and then who's your driver?
So I will go with a 106.833. And my driver, Perez.
All right. Deanna, what you got for a lap time and fastest driver?
I'm going to go for a 106.7. And I'm going to go with Hamilton.
All right. I will go 107.158. Just because I think it's going to be around the same type of lap time. I don't think the tires are going to make that big of a difference. And I will also say Hamilton.
All right. And on James's secret formula here, he's got Bottas with the fastest lap at a 107.001.
And John, did we get your... Yeah, we got yours.
Yeah, I just typed in wrong.
Okay, got it. All right, no worries.
These back-to-back-to-backs, they do things to my agenda.
No, I mean, my brain can be mush at this point, too. So for bonus picks, Deanna gets to have the distinction of picking the bonus positions. What are we picking this week?
We are picking 18, 19, and 20.
18, 19, and 20. Okay. So different from the 4, 5, and 20 that we're used to. John, we'll start with you. What do you have for bonus picks?
I'm going to go with a Latif. No. I want to mix that up. Come back to me, Andy. Come back to me. I'm ruining something here.
Deanna, what do you want to throw in for your bonus picks?
Let's just look at a list of people here. And I'm going to say Raikkonen gets in a little first lap thing along with who's kind of in that range. Let's say Ocon and let's say the two of them take each other out. Maybe not take each other out. Those are just the bomb two. Anyway, and then I'll put Mazepin in 18th.
All right. So Raikkonen is 19th and Ocon is 20th, or the other
Raikkonen
way around?
Raikkonen is 20th. I went backwards. 19 is Ocon, and then 18 is... Who did I just say? Mazepin?
Yes.
Can anyone else tell that it's 1 a.m. on the East Coast?
We're a little punch drunk.
And we've all been up for
one too many laps around Austria today. So, all right, I will go for P18. I'm probably going to be boring, but, you know, what the heck. Nicholas Latifi, P19, Mick Schumacher, P20, Nikita Mazepin, whatever. I think he'll be last.
Yeah, so James has thrown a little hate this week. He's got Sebastian Vettel in P18, Latifi in P19, and Mazepin in P20. And for me, this is tough, guys. I will go with I kind of want to steal sort of your thunder there, Andy, or Deanna. I want to go with a Ocon in P18, Schumacher 19, and Mr. Spins in 20th.
All right, very good. So our prop bet for this race, and I think this one is actually very appropriate, given we only had 4 cars on the lead lap last week. How many drivers will finish on the lead lap? John, we'll start with you.
I'll go. I'm trying to do the math of how many drivers. I'm going to say 7 are going to finish on the lead lap.
Okay. James is clocked in with 6. Deanna, what you got for the prop bet? How many cars on the lead lap?
Did we break her?
I'm thinking. I'm going to say we're going to get a late safety car. So I'm going to go high here and say 12.
Ooh, okay. I like that. They won't all get to unlap themselves if they're at least only one lap down. I do think we have the fact that you didn't get a safety car last week was kind of almost, you know, the stats would pan it out that you would expect to get one. So I actually do think that there'll be a fair number. I'm going to go with 10.
All right. So we're all over the map again.
Yeah, nice. And there'll probably be like 3, but that's just kind of how that goes. So yeah, that's it. Basically for kind of the reset on the preview here, any final thoughts before we help into, the last of our triple headers? We all get to take a break after this one. John, any final thoughts?
No, looking forward to Sunday. Hopefully we can get, we'll have a full showing, get everyone in the house. And it's tough times with everyone traveling and things like that time of the year, you know, with everyone going on vacation or holidays for our European folks, but should be a good one. Hopefully it's a little bit more exciting than today's race. Hopefully Mercedes, they've been kicked in the balls several times now, and hopefully they react and start to fight back a little bit. So at least make for a decent race regardless of the outcome.
Deanna, any closing thoughts?
I mean, I'm just hoping softer tires, at least if we don't get rain, we get a good solid 2-stop race. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm hoping that we have a much more enthralling, bigger battle at the front, bigger battle all over the place. So let's hope for that. Just checking the times, it is the same start times as they were for last week. So 8 a.m. on race day in the central time zone, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, 8 or 7 in the mountains, and 6 a.m. in the Pacific. If you are so inclined, please do check that out. So we'll be back Sunday night, or probably no, we'll be back Monday night, because Sunday, as when we were doing our last review, there were some fireworks going off around my apartment. That will probably continue to happen on the 4th of July. It will sound like a war zone. So for your all benefit, we will postpone until Monday night, but we will recap everything that happened in the Austrian Grand Prix. So for Deanna, for John, for James, who's not here, it's been Andy. Super fun. And may all your laps be fast.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Outlap F1 Podcast. If you like what you heard, click that subscribe button and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. If you want to connect with us outside of the show, check out our website at www.outlapf1.com. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Outlap F1 Podcast or email us at chatnow@outlapf1.com. As always, thank you so much for your support and we'll see you on the next one.